Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
So this morning, you came on a good day because I'm going to begin a brand new series this morning entitled, It's Hot. Look at your neighbor and say, it's hot. It's been hot outside, man. I just walk outside and almost instantly start sweating. But we've had a little break from that this weekend. The weather has been so nice this weekend, and we're thankful for that. I'm going to be in Romans 12:11. Romans 12:11. And I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. I've really been enjoying reading from this translation here lately. Romans 12:11 says, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot, radiant with the glow of the Holy Spirit, and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. I'm going to read it one more time. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. I believe that God wants His church to be enthusiastic about serving God. Serving God shouldn't be something that, oh my God, I got to go to church, right? I'm thankful that we come to a fun church. This is a fun place to be, and a place that you can come and be refreshed. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. God wants you to be hot. He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He wants you to be hot. Can somebody say amen? Radiant with the glow of the Holy Spirit, and let Him fill you with excitement as you serve Him. Father, we thank You for Your word. God, we are thankful, Father, that it is alive, that it is a well, that it is sharper than a double-edged sword, God, that it can really, truly change our lives if we allow it to. And I ask You to do that this morning. God, I pray that You speak to every heart and change every life, including mine, God, today. We give You praise for that. In Jesus' name, everybody shouted, amen. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? So one more time, I want you to look right at me and just with everything you got, I want you to scream, it's hot. Yeah, it's hot. That was hot, man. I felt the heat. I felt the heat this morning. And so we're going to talk about this message about how God truly wants us to be burning hot for Him, man. You know, I think one reason the world doesn't want to have anything to do with the church or Christians is because we're kind of like halfway there. You know what I'm saying? We're kind of halfway there. It's like we're Christians, but we're not really excited about it. You know, hey, man, why don't you just come and just try my church if you don't like it? Yeah, no, man, we should be excited about God. Excited about the things of God, excited about what God is doing in our lives. And how many of you know if you're truly excited about something, you're going to talk about it? You're going to talk about it. Man, if you get a new job and it's your dream job, Thomas LeBee just got his dream job. His dream job. Where are you, Thomas? Are you in here? Oh, okay, he's in the back. So he's armed and dangerous, I can tell you that, because he just got his dream job. He is serving in the sheriff's department for Columbia County. It's what he's always wanted to do, and you know, it's a little late in life, but you know, I mean, he went for it anyway, you know what I'm saying? And we're so proud of Thomas, but here's how I know it was his dream job. He talks about it all the time. That's no insult. He talks about it all the time. Man, let me tell you about what happened this week. You know, in fact, I've got a little story to share with you about people that are new on the force. And so we got new grass around the property, and it's looking so good. It's starting to take root. But it requires us to water the grass every morning and every night. And so the other day, a little before 6 o'clock, it was still pretty dark outside. I was out there starting the sprinklers, making sure that everything was good. And I'm bent over doing the sprinklers, and I hear a car pull up behind me, and I look around, and it's a police car. And I thought, what is going on here? And then they flip their brights on, and I'm like, what is going? And then they flip the colored lights on. You know, I'm like, uh-oh, okay, here we go. And so I say, you know, what's up? And they said, do you have a reason to be here? And I said, well, I'm the pastor. I think I do. And they said, well, what are you doing? And I look over the sprinkler that's like running. And, well, I'm watering the grass. And they said, uh-huh. We're going to need to see some ID. I'm like, for real? I pull out my wallet, hand them my ID, and they go and they go to their car and run my ID. I'm like, what is going on, man? I know people, you know. I mean, I'm like, what is going on? And we're standing there. We're standing there, and it's awkward because he leaves his partner with me to make sure I don't run away or something. And so I, you know, I'm a little bored, so I pull out my phone, and they say, sir, do you have anything else in your pockets? Some keys to this building. I've got that. But when I pulled out my keys, they took their defense like something was about to happen. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what is going on here? I don't understand. And Thomas said, let me give you a little hint. If a police officer stops you and is standing right in front of you, reaching into your pockets is not the best idea. You know what I'm saying? And so and I said, ma'am, did you know that I'm a chaplain for the police department? I'm on the force. Did you know that? Oh, no, sir. I'm new. I don't know anybody, you know. But she's not letting up, man. She is holding her ground, you know. And then the guy comes back with my ID, and he said, well, I ran it, and everything checks out. And I said, well, thank you very much. I just let your partner know that I'm a chaplain for the police department. And he gets real quiet, and then he said, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You know, we're new. We're rookies. We don't know anybody. But I was sharing that with Thomas, and he's going to go give him a hard time. But I'm thankful for all the police department that watches our building to make sure it stays safe. And you know what? We've got people that are watching it today. And so they make sure that we're safe. But the reason I'm sharing that story is those guys, they were new. This was the position that they had been working towards. They went to the academy, and you know what? They were passionate about what they were doing. They were taking their job seriously. And I believe that God wants us as Christians to be passionate about what we're doing. We are here for a reason, man. God has changed my life. He has changed my life. And without God, listen, without God, I know that my life is a mess. But with God, listen, he has turned everything. He has turned, man, he has set me on a course that I'm excited about. And we want to be passionate. We want to be burning hot for the things of God. Romans 12:11 said to be boiling hot. Because God desires that you be passionate about your relationship with him. God wants us to be passionate about that relationship that we have with him. You know, I share this a lot, but it's much like, you know, some teenagers that fall in love, right? And maybe it's the first love. And you know what? They're passionate about that. They get home from school, and okay, so when I was in school, we would get home from school, and the first thing we would do is we would see if anybody was on the party line. I lost about 80%. And if they were, we had to wait till they got off so that we could call the girlfriend, right? That was what, and we were passionate about it. And we're telling everybody, and if Pamela was up here, I'd tell, you know, man, she's mine, you know, she's mine. And we're pumped and we're excited about it. And we start that way with God, and it feels so good when we come to know him, and a lot of relief and things began to happen. But somewhere along the way, the passion begins to fade. But Matthew 22:37 says this, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the question that I want to present to you today, is that how we're loving him? With all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, Are we truly loving Christ well? Or are we kind of halfway acquainted with him? You know, there's this illustration that, you know, I know President Trump. I know who he is, right? How many of you know who President Trump is? Donald Trump, you know who he is? In fact, I'm just going to be honest with you. It's not that I like everything he does or everything he says, but I'm a pretty big fan. I mean, I'm not being political, but I think things are happening, and so I'm just going to tell you, I'm a pretty big fan of the presidency. And so, now, some of you may not come back next week, but that's okay, because I'm going to be truthful. The Bible says the truth will set you free, so let it set you free right now, all right? I know who he is, but guess what? I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know what his favorite food is. I don't know, you know, what makes him tick. I don't know his heartbeat. I don't know the things that set him off and the things that make him. I don't know that kind of stuff because I don't know him that well. And that's how we are with God a lot of times. We know who he is. We know that he created the universe and we'll acknowledge it. We know that Jesus died on the cross and we'll acknowledge it. But we haven't taken time to really get to know him. And I believe that that's what God, he's wanting to take you today from that position of knowing who God is to knowing God. I know Pamela better today than I ever have because I've spent time with her over the last, we're about to celebrate 20 years from our first date. And so I know her more today than I knew her 20 years ago. But sometimes, those of you that, you know, have been married a long time, you know that there's points in life where the passion just kind of starts to fade away. I mean, you wake up next to that person every day, and you get used to that person, and guess what happens? You get complacent. And so there's things that you can do. Now, I know I was starting down a hole, but I'm getting out of it right now. There's things that you do. To heat things up, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, your love may be growing cold, but I know how to start a fire. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, I know how to start a fire. And so there's some things that you can do to start a fire. And that fire, if you're real good at it, can burn hot, baby. I'm just telling you, man. Hey, look, she's not sitting on the front row, so she can't. I don't think she can throw that far. I'll just tell you, Pamela and I have some fun together. We enjoy each other's company. Now, some of you got dirty minds, and you done going somewhere you shouldn't be going. But I'm telling we. Guess what? We like to play Parcheesi. It's a board game. It's not Fortnite. You can't, you don't play it on a screen. You actually have this, it's awesome. Hey, guys, this is awesome. It's this board, you know, you actually fold it out and set it on a table, and you move pieces with your hands, and it's really awesome. And so this is something that I don't even like Parcheesi, but I like to play it with Pamela. You know why? Because that gives me some time with her. And it's weird things like doing something that you don't want to do for the person that you love, because you know that they enjoy it. Guess what? Those kind of things start a fire, right? And it causes something to happen inside of you that says, you know what? This person cares more about me than they care about themselves. And that's the kind of love that God has called us to, a love that is selfless, not selfish. A lot of us want to serve God if he'll do what we want on our terms. Well, God, you can meet me on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week, I need you to give me my distance. Give me my space, right? In fact, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. Some of us have prostituted our relationship with Christ, that we want what we want when we want it. And if we don't get it, then we hit the road, Jack. But God wants an everlasting relationship, one that'll last forever. Can somebody say amen? Okay, I know that may be a hard word this morning, but he said, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He wants your attention. He wants your focus. He wants you to be passionate about your relationship with him. In fact, Matthew 22:37 says this, in the Passion Translation, it says, Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart. with all the energy of your being and with every thought that is within you. Does that mean that you think about God every second of the day? I've never met somebody that can do that. Let's just be honest. But I do know that if the closer you get to God, the more you think about him. And the more you see, as you're thinking about things at work and things that you've been entrusted to do and responsibilities that you have or work or anything, whatever it is, you know, your aim is to honor God in those things in your life. Oh, I'm going to work hard in school because I want to honor God. I want to honor God with my studies. I'm going to work hard at work because no longer are we working for the dollar, but now we're working to honor God. And God will bless you, I promise you. He will bless your efforts. Somebody say, I want to burn for God. You will invest thought and energy into what you're passionate about. Oh, you'll invest your thoughts and your energy into what you're passionate about. And so some of you are passionate about pro football. And so here lately, you've been watching players and statistics and stats and watching the news about who's doing what and who's looking good on the field and who's been looking good at practice and what the projections are. And man, you have invested thought and energy. I love playing fantasy football. I don't even watch football, but I like playing fantasy football. And so I look at all the stats and look at, this is something I enjoy doing. I hardly ever win, but I like to do it, you know. And so it's something that I enjoy to do. I love going to the gym. I love doing that. I love going to work out. Some days I don't want to. Most of the days I love it. It's something that I invest thoughts and energy. I think about, okay, what am I going to be doing in the morning? Am I going to be doing, you know, chest and shoulders, or am I going to be doing legs? I know it don't look like I do either. But I'm telling you, I'm passionate about it. I like it. And now my whole family's in on it, you know, and so we enjoy it, and it's something that we do. You know, Jaron stood me up 2 days this week, but, you know, he was supposed to meet me at the gym, but, you know, I was kind of glad, because when he comes, oh, it's on, it's on. He's like, no, you're going to go farther than you thought you were going to go. But it's something that, you know, if you're passionate about, oh, I don't know, you know, fishing or something like that, or, you know, you put thought into that. I mean, Tim and Charles, they go all the way to Minnesota so they can fish the lakes in Minnesota. You know, they or Wisconsin. Did y'all go to Wisconsin? Is that right? Both. Or you just go to both. Just because you're passionate about fishing. Whatever you're passionate about, you invest thought and energy, and I'll even add this, resources to see those things happen in your life. Why? Because it's important to you. And God wants us to be passionate about him. He wants us to invest some thought and energy into our relationship with him. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. You know, some of us are like, God, where are you? I don't feel you. I don't hear you. I don't sense you in my life. And there's seasons where that happens, and there should be no condemnation in this room at all this morning, because that's not what the Lord wants to do. But I do want to ask you this morning, are you really seeking him with all of your heart? Or are we halfway seeking him when it's convenient? The church is full of casual seekers rather than passionate seekers. We punch in, we punch out. We punch in, we punch out. And I want to say, at least you're punching in. You're doing something. Thank you. But God is wanting to take us from casual seekers to people that are passionate. God, if you don't show up in my life, I don't know what I'm going to do. God, if you don't show up, I don't know how I'm, you know, we become passionate. I don't want to even do this thing without God, man. I don't want to go to church without his presence. I don't want to go to church without being able to experience him. Listen, going to church without God is boring. It's boring. But you add God to the mix, and you add his presence to the mix. Presence that the Bible shows us can change your life. That's when it gets fun. Watching people come into this sanctuary addicted to drugs and being set free. I know people that have been set free now for years, not because of a program, because of the presence. I've seen marriages completely restored, completely. They were completely devastated, and they've come into this place, not because it's anything we do or because we're good at what we do, because I could be the first to tell you I'm not, but it's because the presence of God can change any situation if you allow it to. It may not be the way you want it to happen, but he can be all in the middle of it. And that's what we want. We want to be passionate seekers of the presence of God. So let's look at this real quickly. We're going to look at casual seekers and passionate seekers. And we're going to look at the difference here. Casual says when others are doing it. Casual. Okay, so you think about casual drinkers. You know, they may not drink a sip of alcohol all week long, but if they're around people, other people that are drinking, they'll join in. Casual, and you know, a lot of times it's like that with Christ, right? Is, you know, we really don't have anything to do with him, but you know, when we get around people who are Christians, we just kind of casually get in there. Casual says when others are doing it. Passionate says even when no one else is doing it. When nobody else is there, when nobody else is looking, when nobody else is around, are we seeking God? Casual says when it is convenient. Passionate says even when it's inconvenient. I know this is kind of elementary here, but go with me. Casual says, listen to this, when it makes me look good. Passionate says even when it makes me look bad. Even when everybody thinks I am crazy. Students, man, there's going to be times that you're going to have to make decisions that you feel like you were the oddball out, that, man, it's just, God, why can't I go to that party or why can't I do that? And I'm here to tell you, if you will passionately seek him, you will passionately seek him, even when nobody else is doing it, God is going to bless you and he is going to honor you. He's going to honor you. Pamela and I have made some very unpopular decisions in our life. When everyone else said, don't do it, don't do it, you're going to regret it, don't do it, that this doesn't make sense. And people would say these things to us, but if we had a word from God and we knew that we were doing what God was asking us to do, you know, he blesses it. He blesses it. We are amazed. We were talking about financial peace. Financial peace is going to teach you some principles that are very unpopular, you know. It's going to teach you principles that may not seem culturally relevant, but we have applied those principles in our life. We've applied those things in our life, and Pamela and I make probably less than most of you in this room, but we pay cash for everything because God has blessed our efforts, and he has showed us how to do things well financially, but it's usually the unpopular way. We don't go to eat on credit. We don't do things on credit, you know, things like that. But yet we've learned how to have a high credit score because we do things God's way. And so God's blessed us. And so therefore we have low interest rates on our homes. We buy homes at good prices and we sell them for high prices. I mean, I don't know. The Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And so, you know, I don't know how that works, but God has just showed us his faithfulness and blessed. And I'm not bragging on us. I'm just saying it came from making some unpopular choices. And now God is blessed. We don't live extravagantly or anything like that, but God has blessed us in our efforts, and we're trying to help other people be able to make those choices too. That's what Christianity is all about. Can I tell you? It's about changing people's lives. And God can take your story and help you change someone else's story for the better. Can somebody say amen? Somebody say, I want to burn for God. Job 1:22 says this. Now this is Job. You know, we're talking about some unpopular and hard choices. Job was a man who had to make both. It says, naked I came from my mother's womb. Now, I lost some of you at the word naked. Let's get back. All right. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Why am I sharing that scripture? It's because Job was a man of passion. He lost everything. Now look, I wrote this message back probably in January, just to be honest with you. And I was waiting for the right time to release it. And we put it on the calendar a few months ago to release this word today, because I believe this is an on-time word. He lost everything. His family, his children, I mean, they're gone. Wiped off the face of the earth, gone. His money, he was very wealthy, and he lost everything. And he said, hey, even though I don't have anything left, even though the Lord has caused pain in my life, look, I didn't come into this world with anything, and I'm not leaving with anything, but with everything that I've got today, I say, blessed be the name of the Lord. His friends were saying, curse God and die. Man, his wife, the only thing, that the enemy left for Job was his wife. That tells you something about this woman. He said, hey, I'm going to take out his kids. I'm going to take out his fine. Oh, but I'm going to leave his wife. You know, oh, I'm going to leave her. I'm going to leave her because she's going to make this even better. You know what I'm saying? She's like, Job, man, just die. You just need to go. Let's end it right now. I don't want to take care of you. Your friends don't want to be around you. I mean, you're a sad sight, dude. And, you know, obviously you're cursed, man. And man, and you know what Job said? I will not sin against my God. Oh, I'm not going to sin again. Oh, come on, Job. I mean, for real. I mean, look at yourself. You're a mess. We've got people like that in our lives. But Job made a hard and impossible choice. He said, I'm going to stand and I'm going to worship my God, even though it doesn't feel like it, even when I don't feel like it, even when I don't feel it, I'm going to praise him. You know, even when I don't see what's going on, oh, I'm going to praise him. And we see that because of that, God restored double of everything that Job had lost in life. He became the richest, most wealthiest person on the face of the earth in that time. I'm telling you that God blessed him because he made some unpopular choices in his life. Somebody say, I want to burn for God. He blessed him with more kids, more wealth, more finances, more cattle, more land than he ever had. And when it looked like all else had failed, God came through. Can I tell you this morning, some of you are walking through a circumstance this morning. I've heard stories wherever you are that it just seems impossible. But if you will stay faithful to God and you will worship him, listen, God can bless you with more than you've ever had before. Can somebody shout hallelujah? I want to burn for God. 2 Samuel 20:23. I'm sorry. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 20 through 23 shows us the story of a man who is passionate about God, King David, one of my favorite people in the Bible. So David had went and retrieved the Ark of the Covenant, which just simply represented the presence of God. And it was a hard journey. It was rough. Lost one of his best men on the way, died, and he came into the city, and this is the story of how he came into the city with the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. It says, when David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him, and she said in disgust, listen, because here's the deal, David was so excited that he was praising God, man. He was getting excited. Man, I brought the presence of God back. You know, we come back in victory and all this stuff. And he comes in to the city, and he's the king right now. And he comes in, and he's so passionately dancing before God that his clothes fall off. Now, the day anybody dances their clothes off in this place, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to be escorted out by some folks, and, it may not be nice. And I'm not looking for the dancing the clothes off anointing. I'm just saying, leave. Nobody wants to see that, okay? I'm just saying. We have rules, okay? Now I'm going to sound like Michael here in a minute. God forgive me. It says, how distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to all them servant girls, like any vulgar person might do. And David retorted to Michal, I was dancing before the Lord, who, by the way, he chose me over your father. He chose me over your own daddy. And not just your daddy, but all your family too. I mean, he chose me, a shepherd boy, over all them. And he appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord. So yeah, I celebrated before the Lord. Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to the point of being humiliated even in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think that I'm distinguished. Why? Because I'm making an unpopular choice to worship God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why did that happen? I don't know. I don't get a lot of things that happen in the Bible. Let's just be honest about it. I don't know why John the Baptist had to walk around wearing camel's hair and eating locust and honey. That just makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. But it made sense to God. It was something special between that person and God. And so we can get all theological about it. Well, the locust means this and the camel's hair. No, look, it's just that dude was weird, man. I'm just going to tell you, he was a little weird, you know. But it was between him and God honored that. So Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. Why? Because she tried to quench the passion of her husband who had an intimate relationship with God. They were close. They were tight. They learned that in the field with the sheep. You know, he learned how to be close to God. And God is wanting us to be close and passionate to the point where it doesn't matter what the other teenagers say. It doesn't matter what the other college kids are doing. Or can I tell you, you think you got it hard, teenagers, and those of you that are in college, I can tell you it doesn't get any easier. Because one day you're going to be parents, and you're going to have other parents who are raising their kids differently, and you feel like you're the oddball, and now you're having to make some hard choices. And so my kids think it's horrible because we won't let them have social media. Oh, no Instagram. No Facebook. Actually, we were going to kind of throw them a bone. We was like, Dad, nobody's on Facebook anymore. Only old people. Okay, then have nothing. That's okay with me too. You know, we make some tough choices, and sometimes it's hard to make those choices. I'm just being honest. As a parent, sometimes you see your kids want to do something, or, you know, we just watched a movie last night. We didn't, but our kids did. A movie that came out in theater, but they had to wait till it came out at home so that we could, we have a filter that takes out all the language, and it was full of language. And so we said, oh, you can watch the movie as long as it's on the filter, you know? And they wanted to do that. They were receptive to that, and they honored God by making a hard choice as well. God wants you to burn for him. It doesn't get any easier, but it is so rewarding and so fulfilling if you do it God's way. Can somebody say amen? Worship team, if you would come. God wants us to burn from the inside out. Now, I've seen it the other way. I've seen it the other way where people are burning on the outside, but there's nothing going on the inside. And you know what? Them people are strange. In fact, we always called it strange fire, man. I've seen people hoop and holler in church and run around and act crazy, but they ain't got nothing going on the inside. Oh, man, that's some strange stuff right there. Now, I've seen people worship God passionately that's truly burning on the inside, and it's totally different. You feel something when it happens, you know? God wants you to burn from the inside out. Most of the time, the fire starts where nobody else can even see it. Something's going on deep on the inside, man. And when you're alone, man, God's doing something in your heart. And you feel it, and you just feel that God's with you. And he's beginning to burn with inside of you. It happens whenever you're alone. And it's really a powerful thing whenever you truly begin to read the Word. Not read through the Word, read the Word. Let it take root in your life. And these things happen and began to happen from the inside out. Romans 12:11 says this: never let the fire in your heart go out. Keep it alive. Serve the Lord. If you would stand with me this morning. I want to leave you with these thoughts right here. Our actions reflect our desires. What we do in life, so the fire is burning from the inside out. Our actions reflect our desires. The Bible says this, that we are drawn away and tempted and led astray, not because the devil is sitting on our shoulder saying, you know you want to, come do it, I want you to sin. No, it says it's by our own desires. I've never seen someone get drunk because they didn't like the taste of alcohol, they didn't want anything to do with it, and they just, I don't have any desire anywhere in me for that. I've never seen that happen. There's something in them that wants to take the first drink. Or there's something that in them that makes them feel like they need to take the first drink. It all starts with our desires, and so our actions reflect our desires. And here's the deal, it goes deeper than that. Our desires reflect our thoughts. If you never thought about taking the first drink, then you didn't take it, right? And so, things happen in life. I know there's exceptions, but I'm just telling you, in most cases, our desires reflect what's going on up here. I've never seen somebody throw their life away overnight. It started with a thought somewhere, and they started to think about it and dwell on it. And here's the last one. Our thoughts reflect our passions, what we're passionate about. God wants us to be passionate for Him, burning hot for the things of God. And if you will become passionate about God, then your thoughts will begin to change, and then your desires will begin to change. And now your life has been changed by the Word of God. God wants you to burn for Him. Can somebody say amen? Can you give the Lord praise this morning?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you are blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.